The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello. You all right?
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm very good, thank you.
You're cool.
I'm so cool.
Who told you that?
I'm just Julio Coolio.
Are you really?
Yeah, Julio.
Don't you mean either. Julio Coolio?
Julio Coolio.
Yeah, okay.
Si. Come no.
Okay.
I don't know why when I speak Spanish, I'm not sure it was. I think it was Italian, actually.
Yeah.
Come no. I always sound very butch and masculine, like, aguas en gas. Because they're very macho, aren't they, the Spanish men?
Are they?
Yeah. Have you not noticed?
If you say so.
It's the way you walk.
I used to tell a funny story about Spanish.
Another one.
Yeah. You've heard it a million times, so I won't bother to tell you again.
No, go on, tell me.
Oh, it's years ago.
You knew I'd asked, didn't you?
Yeah, it was about 35 years ago. I worked for... I used to work for an oil company based in Dallas. And I was,
Olive?
No, not Olive.
Olive oil.
I know what you mean.
Spaniel.
I'm just ignoring you.
Okay.
I'm just ignoring you.
Olive oil.
Yeah. Now, anyway, I was living in Dallas.
Quil olivos.
You never get into work.
Quil olivos.
You're never going to get to the end of this story if
Come
you
on.
Interrupt every line.
I can't wait to hear the end of your Dallas story.
And on TV was an advert, and if you've ever seen American TV, especially local TV, lots of people have adverts where the owner of the business has to do the advert, if you see what I mean.
Oh, yeah, to save money.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a chap called Frank Perdue, and Frank Perdue... no, it wasn't the Ewing family. But I'll tell you what, though, Cheryl, funnily enough... If you look at the opening credits of Dallas, the TV programme...
Does it say Paul Andrews?
No, it doesn't. If you remember, there's a building that reflects. It's all glass. And actually, the reflection in that glass was the building I was working in. Ah, there you go.
And was your reflection
and
in
I
it?
And I never saw the Ewings.
And Sue Ellen, was she there? Or? I can't remember. She just used to drink gin, didn't she?
Something like that. I'm never going to tell
this
story.
Didn't she die 58 times and resurrected? Or was that Bobby? Didn't he die in the shower or something?
I came back in the shower.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can often come back in the shower, can't we, Paul Andrews?
Where were we?
Anyway, you were in Dallas with your reflection showroom.
I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, you were in Dallas with your reflection. Go on.
No.
Somebody's reflection.
It was a TV advert and there was a chap called Frank Perdue.
Doing it himself.
That owned a chain of fried chicken restaurants.
Yeah. I do know this.
And they had a tagline that he used to walk into the centre of the camera shot and go, "It takes a tough man to make tender chicken." That was their tagline for their chicken shops. Anyway, he opened a load of chicken shops in Mexico. Okay, just over the border.
In Mexico.
And he insisted on fronting the adverts in the Mexican TV version. And they they gave him a translation in Spanish for his tagline, forgetting that Spanish is somewhat different to Mexican Spanish.
Sí.
So he told 18 million Mexicans, "It takes a hard man to make a chicken affectionate."
And how did the sales go?
Oh, through the roof. Anyway, enough of that.
Yeah, I do remember that joke, actually, from years ago.
It wasn't a joke. It was real. It happened.
I would like to ask a very important question, Paul Andrews, which is, who might our sponsor be?
Ah, I'm glad you asked that. I'm glad you asked that. This week's show sponsor are the lovely folks at the Tenterton and District Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the area covered by Tenterton and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Betherston, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rowenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittersham and Woodchurch. The Tenterton and District Chamber of Commerce exists to promote the sustainable economic development of this area and to provide a collective voice for the area's businesses. And you can find out all about the lovely chamber by going to www.tentertonchamber.org.
When you retire, you could be a train conductor to do that, because you do it very, very nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the studio, I mean, we're round to the gills, Paul Andrews, aren't we?
We are.
Flanking me, we have the lovely Jo Dodds.
Jo's back. She's back.
Yeah, wearing the same red T-shirt that she used to wear.
Well, I'm sure it's not exactly
in 1066.
It is a new one.
Is it?
To be fair.
I'm sure it's been washed, you know. Yeah. But it is her trademark colour, isn't it? We always love Jo in red. She is a red girl.
As I said earlier, she's the Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs just used to have 15,000 black polo neck shirts, and Joe's got 15,000 red T-shirts.
Still took a lot of decisions to get dressed this morning, to be fair.
You did it. You had to decide which red T-shirt you were going to wear.
Exactly.
Yes.
I just got dressed last night and lay there ready, you know.
Is that
we
right?
can tell.
Yeah. flanking the lovely Joe, we have Cheryl Korsbach and Ella Brocklebank. And they're going to be talking about women in construction, or what have they been? I don't know what you're going to be talking about.
What are we allowed to talk about?
They don't know what they're talking about, probably.
They're going to talk about lots of things. They're going to talk about their fantastic charity and their up and coming gala ball, to which we've been invited.
We have. Yeah. What are you going to wear?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I haven't been out for 2 years.
In the email that Ella sent me, it's got very specific instructions. I've got to wear a pretty dress, apparently.
Oh, lovely. Well, shall I go in your gear and you go in mine? That would be good.
I like the sound of that.
We could swap. Do you remember Andrew Setterfield once said that we were the same person because he'd never seen us in the room together?
That's a bit like us, isn't it?
Yeah. So I could go in your cummerbund and you could go in. I've got a lovely purple maxi you could wear.
A bit like Barry Humphreys and Dame Edna
Everett. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I don't like where this is
Michael
going.
Jackson.
Yeah.
You're regretting saying this now, Paul, aren't you?
So what is the date we're going?
26th of November is the date of the ball. We're going to be talking about that later.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried, though, because I actually I haven't been out for 2 years. I mean, I've forgotten what to do. What do you do? You have a glass
you
in one hand.
You drink a lot and fall over.
You have a glass in both hands, Jules.
Oh, yes, well.
You should be worried, not you, Jules.
That's my one weakness.
And during the auction, and there's got to be an auction.
I always go wild in auctions.
You just wave the glasses and people come and take your money off.
I bid for a private chef just before lockdown. Quite a lot of money, I have to say, with the Harry covert for two private chefs to do a dinner, and of course then lockdown came and I still haven't had them.
Have you paid for it?
I paid a lot of money for it, like, you know, eye-watering, because I was drunk, you see. I'd had a few glasses, so my hand kept going up.
It was breakfast, was it?
And my new husband's going, no, don't bid for any more, don't bid for any more. I kept going, yes, yes, yes.
Were you trying to attract the waiter?
Yeah. As well. Anyway, we'd love to hear your stories and how your business is going. We'd love to hear how you're all doing. Use the Bee Bunker hashtag. And let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Do keep your tweets coming in. We've had quite a few tweets already, and we've got quite a few things to cover. We got some fantastic guests to talk to about lots of different things. I'm going to kick off with a tweet, our usual Tuesday tweet from the lovely Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. And they say, it's Tuesday vibe, and yet more special guests lined up on the Business Bunker show today with Paul and Jules, bringing business news, helping to support small businesses, SMEs, entrepreneurship, small business matters, businesses, news and businesses. So thank you for that. And that's the lovely folks at Chips and Dinks. And they can repair almost anything. And they also upcycle and recycle loads and loads of things. So do check them out on Twitter, Chips and Dinks. And we've also had the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors, based over there in Rochester, who have also requested a shout-out. So consider yourself shouted out.
Just on another note, Paul Andrews, I had to update my phone last night, and I
Hold on. When you say update, well, you bought a new one?
No. You know when you get that little reminder
iOS
settings.
14.1. Oh. Yeah.
And since I've done it, I tell you, my Safari is all over the place.
I've got a little tip for you. Are you traumatised? Because the search bar's at the bottom now?
Yeah. I'm just... Well, look.
Because you can change it.
No, but look, Joe. So when I go now, on the old days, I just go
this
into...
This doesn't work on radio, does it?
No.
It doesn't work on
now,
radio.
No, it's just... Look.
Yeah, so look, there's your search bar, but if you go into your settings, you can put it back at the top.
Oh, I see. That's what it is.
I did it the other day. Let me remind myself.
So I've been looking up here, where it used to be.
So if you're on 15, everybody, on iOS, then your Safari is...
Say it in the Spanish way, iOS.
You're having your... search bar at the bottom, which is very confusing.
Yeah,
but
if you
go into your settings, you can go to settings and then Safari and then change your tabs from tab bar to single tab and it'll put it right back at the top again.
I love that. Now, it's Joe Dodd's
tips. Come to me, productivity expert.
Hang on, where is the Safari setting?
Paul, you talk. Cause she's
I don't know. This is a nightmare.
Oh, it's right down the end. So as Joe Dodd said, very sweetly.
There's no point in me talking if you're going to gabble over me.
Scroll down the end and you will do it. And now I have my lovely bar just where it was.
Back at the top.
Now, why does Apple do that every time?
Safari's atrocious. I use Safari as a browser and it's atrocious. It really is atrocious and it doesn't work with most things.
What about Chrome? Can you get Chrome?
No, just sharp and let me finish a sentence.
Breathe.
Yeah.
It's very uppity this morning, isn't
it? Well, because it's got both of us here.
I'm just getting fed up now. I never managed to finish a sentence.
Then all those years ago.
Yeah. I use Buffer to post social media, and it suddenly stopped working with Safari because Safari updated recently, and it just doesn't work on anything anymore.
So annoying.
And it's just useless. It's rubbish.
And the worst thing is my mother, who's 91, the lovely Ruth.
She didn't write Safari.
I gave her my old Apple, whatever it is, you know, big thingy bob phone, iPhone Plus, and of course it wants her to have an Apple ID. She's 91, you know, and we've set her up with some email and that, and she's going mad. She says it asks her at least, you know, five times a day to update.
Yeah,
she just needs it for WhatsApp. That's all she needs. Joe will fill us in later on.
Absolutely right. Anyway, can we get on with this stupid radio show?
Yeah, we can.
There's the world's
harsh. Go on, Paul. Tell it like it is.
He's looking at me. I didn't say that.
She is a bad influence.
I'm just waiting for Joe. As soon as you finish, she's going to butt in as well,
so
isn't
rude.
She? Yeah.
You know what it is, though? She eggs me on when you're not looking.
You don't need egging on.
She does egg me on.
The world's first one-stop sustainability platform launches to help UK businesses reach net zero by 2030. Businesses are being encouraged to sign up and begin reducing emissions today. A new sustainability platform called Zella, with a Z, has launched to enable every UK small business to reach net zero by 2030, well ahead of government targets. This one-stop shop brings together everything businesses need to get to net zero and more in one easy-to-use platform. It's not easy to know where to start, and that's why we created Zella. With big companies often have departments dedicated to sustainability, but now this is primarily aimed at small businesses who had to rely on several different consultants, brokers and different apps, which is time consuming and doesn't guarantee success. But small businesses will make a huge difference, and you can't solve climate issues without them. So they've launched Zella.com, Z-E-L-L-A-R. The platform is now available to businesses across the UK, and you can sign up there. There is a cost to the subscription, but if you go in and check it out, you can have a look.
Lovely. And on Instagram, we are, of course, on Twitter and use the BeBunker hashtag, @BusinessBunker. But on Twitter, the IFF Kitchen, who are based in Manston in Kent, they deliver, as you know, beautiful healthy meals all the way through the UK and Wales and Scotland and everywhere. But they have
the UK and Wales.
Well, you know what I mean, Wales, UK and all that. Probably not Ireland.
You just detach Wales from the rest of the UK, haven't you?
I know, it's the way I said, Boyle. Yeah. Anyway, they have a November giveaway and they're mad about Instagram. And so if you go to their Instagram, IFF Kitchen, you'll see their November giveaway. They have, you can win 2 weeks worth of IFF, Ibiza Fitness Food, meals if you like and share their posts and you follow them and you tag two friends. And they say some very wise words, Paul Andrews. We refuse to let Christmas Day turn into 3 months of binge eating. I've already started on my mince pies. We are giving away 2 weeks of IFF, beautiful ready meals, cooked in Manston. We will cook for you for 2 weeks of your choice. You can put that saving towards Christmas shopping for your nearest and dearest. All you have to do is enter our Christmas raffle. So follow IFF on Instagram, tag two friends in the post, like and share the post, and the live draw will be held on Wednesday the 17th of November, which is just a few days' time.
Fantastic.
Can't work out how many days' time, but it's a few days. Two.
Tomorrow.
Manana.
Manana.
Quick, get onto there, and then come back to Twitter and follow us.
Yeah. Paragon Drones have said, good afternoon, Vanilla Web. I know. we would love a mention on your show today, please. It wouldn't be Tuesday without a cheesy tune.
Oh, yes.
That's Paragon Drones.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
We had a lot. Who was in his loft? Was he in his loft?
Martin.
Yeah, was Martin in his loft?
Yeah, he's in the same loft, but he's... do you want me to read it? I've got it here.
Well, if you can. You're much more diligent.
He's changed his Twitter handle again.
I know, I can't keep up.
He's now gone to Collector's Buddy is his Twitter handle. And he says, Paul and Jules, yes, can I have a Business Bunker shout out, please? Also, my 8-year-old daughter won the Love Ashford colouring in competition in Tenterton. She's picking up her prize later in the week. It's on display at Made in Ashford soon, I believe. And he's got hashtag proud dad. So that's Martin and his daughter, whose name I don't know, but congratulations to Martin's daughter.
Well done, yeah, lovely.
On winning that competition.
We like good news,
yeah.
Paul Andrews. And the lovely Tracy Ferguson, you can find her on at Tasey64, is listening live. You can also follow at Plucky's World. She is a Prince's Trust mentor and personal growth coach and a person. And she says that her little, I like her strap line. It says, the time to do what you love is now. Paul Andrews exits the studio rapidly to do what he loves. You know what I mean? It's a bit of Barry White going on there. So you can find her on pluckiesworld.com. And Pluckies is with a YS, not an IE. So pluckiesworld.com and Tasey64. So she says, tuned in live. Great to hear Joe Dodds back on the show. And lol, Jules, I know someone when I worked in retail who did exactly that for an early store. So she's talking about me getting dressed last night and sitting up all night ready to get in. Who did exactly that for an early store duty and put on makeup too to wake up ready. We did have to be there at 6:30 a.m. to walk the shop with the night manager. So I think it's great. I used to do that when my father Victor used to sit up all night when he had to get up at 4 to travel. And he'd sit up all night with his little suitcase in his chair.
He was a bit less laissez-faire than you are, though, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Victor. He was very organised. But, yeah, he used to sit up all night. I could never understand it. Imagine sitting in a chair all night waiting for your flight.
You'd then fall asleep at the last minute and miss it, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Exactly. That's exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. He used to get there, so, you know. Yeah.
I've had a tweet from Aether Bray.
What are they saying?
Well, they were chatting about biscuits.
Doesn't say that right, does he?
Aethelbray.
Yeah.
He says it in a Cornish way.
I change it every time I say it, just to see if you're paying attention.
I remember when that first came through and we had that very discussion.
We did. And I did it just for you, Jo.
Thank you.
To make you feel at home.
Yeah.
Aethelbray. They've been talking this morning on Twitter about biscuits. And they've sent me a message that says, can you get a biscuit reference into the cheesy tunage today? Well, that's crackers, isn't it, really?
very good, very
well,
good.
Crumbs, we can't go into that.
Yeah. Well, I did look at the song database and it's wafer thin in terms of biscuit references.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just tin it, I would.
Yeah. Yeah. So the answer was no. Apart from Limp Bizkit and...
Oh, yeah, Limp Bizkit.
I nearly punnied a song called Wagon Wheel.
Yeah. That would have been clever.
Yeah, except that I listened to it first, and it's not the kind of thing I would play on a family show.
Really, was it rude?
It was very rude,
I can't think why.
Well, you have to listen to it.
I do like a Fox's biscuit, though. I didn't like to mention on Twitter because, you know, of advertising, but I do like a Fox's biscuit because they have really thick chocolate on, don't they? I do. And if you're going to have a chocolate biscuit...
Well, we've got Jammy Dodgers and Ice Rings in the
Fox's
studio.
Fox's very nice. Yeah. Yeah. We're about five, aren't we, Paul?
Yeah. We're having a party.
Yeah. I'm sorry, they don't really do it for me. I do like a chocolate biscuit, if anything. Or ginger, of course. ginger
with
good.
Chocolate.
So, yeah. Ooh. Only dunked in your tea.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Kate and Keith and Fran and the team at Athelbray. I couldn't come up with anything remotely biscuity. So my cheesy tunage is entirely for the famous Joe Dodds.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is it red?
No. When will I
be famous? Who is this? This is, was it Wham
Frost,
or someone?
Frost,
or, oh,
Frost.
Stop my era, darling. Very good. The famous Joe Dodds.
Business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. That was a bit of Bross.
I was watching a bit of telly last night when I got in. It was the One Show. I don't normally watch sort of telly like that. But I said to my new husband, the presenters are so young. Like, they're like 16 or something. Well, I felt very old.
The problem is, at our age, everyone's young.
Yes, they are. You know, well, let's not talk about policemen. But the presenters were very, very young.
Mm.
Tenterden Chamber, have you read that out?
No.
So they say, we're looking forward to another informative show today. They've very correctly used the Bee Bunker hashtag. And they say, please, how about a shout out for your sponsor today, preparing for our AGM tomorrow, mañana. You can follow Tenterden Chamber on at Tent Chamber. And you can find them on their website, www.tentertonchamber.org.
Fantastic. And it's the AGM tomorrow evening at the White Lion in Tenterden High Street.
Lovely.
So we'll be there, trying to remember not to put your hands up, otherwise you end up volunteering as the secretary or the events coordinator or something, don't you? Cool. Listen, when will I be famous? The famous Joe Dodds is back with us.
Yeah.
It's ages since you were last on, Joe, isn't it?
I know. I was trying to think when.
Mm.
I can't remember. Years and years.
You could have played Lady in Red, of course.
I could have done. Yeah, there was a load of things I could have played for Joe. But
some kinder than others.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we were just saying, Joe was showing us a picture of little Doddsy, her daughter, Ellie, when she was on the show once, years ago now.
Mm.
And we were saying, oh, she's not little Doddsy anymore. And she's not. She's what, 16?
She's 15 and she's taller than me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, she's a very accomplished young lady.
Yeah, it's horrible when that happens, when your kids get bigger than you, isn't it? It's not, my boys, I end up having to look up in the air.
I know, when she wears her heels, I'm really short.
Yeah.
And I'm actually quite tall.
Exactly. Anyway, Joe, look, it's lovely to have you back. Why don't, I mean, we haven't got that long, so we can't catch up with everything that's happened to you since you were last on.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but why don't you tell us what you're up to these days, and kind of, because I know that you're developing new business offerings, so let's have a chat about that, why don't we?
Yeah, well, just before that, two things. One of them, Ella and I were just trying to work out how we knew each other, and I found on LinkedIn a little message from me saying, great to meet you yesterday in 2012. So I've just gone back and looked, and it was on the Business Bunker. So where were we in 2012, August?
2012, we would have still been in Dimchurch, wouldn't
there
we?
There you go, Dimchurch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She doesn't remember, but anyway, that's when we
I'm
met.
Looking completely vague, a the bit power like of technology.
And
conversations
and
earlier.
And on the biscuits front, how weird this, a friend of mine is an internet marketer, and he sent an email out this morning talking about the procrastination cure, and he uses the word biscuits for it. So I'm just going to let you know that it's bum in seat consistently until it's totally sorted.
Biscuits.
It's how to avoid procrastination. Mm. Biscuits. There
you go.
What was it? Bum in seat.
Bum in seat consistently until it's totally sorted.
Mm.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, what am I doing? As usual, many things.
Mm.
But the one I wanted to talk about today is for many years now, in fact, since 2012, I've worked with the Engage for Success movement, which is the national movement around employee engagement.
Mm.
And I ended up working with them because they were looking for someone to help them with their social media and website and things like that, sort of behind the scenes. And I ended up staying, supporting them on that for 10 years now.
Right.
And it's a movement, and it's all really run by volunteers, so I'm the person who gets paid to look after the sort of engine room, if you like, but I also volunteer as a strategy director. And just recently I've realised that actually the last 10 years that's been the most consistent thing that I've done, because you know I get bored easily and all that sort of stuff, and I really love the fact that I work with an organisation that's full of purpose, and we're basically spreading the word about the importance of employee engagement and shining light on good practice in the country. And as I said, we're working with a load of volunteers, and it's quite exciting and all that sort of stuff. And so I am looking now to do some more of that with other organisations, so purpose-led organisations, either charities or not-for-profits or social enterprises, because of the fact that I have this broad sort of spectrum of things that I do. What do I say?
Well, I want to talk about that. I want a few words with you, Dodds, yeah, about this.
Yeah.
Because you do have a broad background in things. I mean, because once upon a time you worked for a big office supplies corporate.
I did.
In HR.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So you've got HR experience.
18 years of HR experience, yeah, over the years.
But for the last, how many years, I don't know.
16 years, yeah.
You've been heavily involved in both marketing and digital and technology and also time management. Because the reason I say that is because she was forever telling me off about not being organised.
She was always late, though, wasn't she?
She was late.
She used to slope in at 2 minutes too. I always remember.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
She was famous for that as well.
Timing, I think.
when we were broadcasting from Dinchurch, Joe lived the nearest to the studio of all of us. And was always the last one in, But that's because she could be. But the thing
she's a productivity consultant. Exactly,
yeah. Time.
She doesn't waste any moments at all. You're right, Ella. Absolutely, it's everything was in its slot. But the thing that used to amaze me is how everything was tied together in her world. Her diaries, and even if you ring her, she's got this amazing automated thing that answers the phone and sends her a text with a voice attachment. Ooh, and all kinds of
sounds like a butler.
So I don't have to listen to any of my messages. I just read the text, although sometimes, to be fair, it doesn't come out quite right, but I just about work out what it means. Well we were good. We said we must go for lunch, and you know, most people go we must go for lunch, darling, and then it never works. That never happens, does it? But within about 10 minutes we'd booked it in the diary, we'd planned where we were going, we'd got it all sorted, hadn't
absolutely
we?
So watch out.
Exactly.
Yeah, and funnily enough, we're going to lunch on the same day as their a charity event.
You're gonna have two meals in a day.
See, she had to say that, didn't she?
Two meals in a day.
I was just about to say, I've got to ask permission to go out, and now you've blown my cover and said I'm gonna have two meals in one day. I'm gonna get in awful trouble here, aren't I?
With her indoors, do you mean?
I wouldn't refer to her like that, no.
She's probably not listening. She's probably mucking out and things, or riding, or whatever.
No, she always listens, don't you worry.
Can she...
Hi, Amanda.
Can she do it with a broken ankle?
Do what?
Horse ride.
Oh, right.
What do you think?
I don't know.
God. So you're having lunch with Joe Dodds.
I am.
The famous Joe Dodds. Then you're rolling off to have dinner with me at the ball.
See, what a lovely day for you. Both of us in one day.
Couldn't
have planned it better, could you?
I'm gonna book my taxi so that I can drink, of course.
Watch out, everybody.
Yes.
Hi, I'm taxi.
Exactly.
Well, you've got a liquid lunch with Joe by the sound of it.
Yeah, but he doesn't drink.
He's teetotal.
If I was very handy on the train, I'd be getting him to come to Hyde, you see.
It's very, very handy.
Oh, no, I'm not coming to train. I'm going to the school run. I forgot about that. Oh, well.
That's why we organised it.
Yes,
though, where
you're
we
right.
Did.
Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, so.
Anyway, back to what we were talking about.
Yes.
Was the kind of experience that you've got in lots of different areas.
Yes. Do you know what I say sort of affectionately to myself, that it's like an inch deep and a mile wide. Yeah. I don't know if that is a compliment or not, jack of all trades and all that, but
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of, when I look at things like this, I mean, you know, there are different ways of approaching things, and no one way is right over another way.
Mm-hmm.
I do tend to like people that have quite broad experience and have experienced lots of different things. Now, you can specialise still, but if you come from a broad-based experience, then I think that helps an awful lot, because you've got different approaches to how things have been implemented, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, so having a wide background, I mean, and you know, my CV is a joke in terms of all the different things I've done and the different places I've been and the gaps in it for different things. So
it's all about the richness of life, isn't it?
Kind of it is. Mm. And, but you know, being a... a jack of all trades. Sometimes it's used as a derogatory term, yes. isn't it? And but it really isn't.
Well, you know, the example, the reason that I'm sort of looking at this, as I say, is because I've worked with Engage for Success for all this time, and literally I look all after all the back end stuff. I redeveloped our website this year. I do all the newsletters every
You're very
week,
techie, so. Aren't you?
I am quite
you
techie, are techie, yeah.
You find techie stuff easy, which I hate techie stuff.
And if I don't know how to do something, I find out. You know, yeah. Nothing sort of stumps me. Mm. But, you know, if we were running a conference, I could chair it. You know, I'm a speaker, I've chaired conferences. If you want a webinar running, I could do that sort of thing. You know, there's loads of those sorts of things. And as you say, you know, I've got the corporate experience, and also I'm a trustee for Age UK and Hythe and Liminge. So, you know, I've got some of that sort of stuff going on as well. And then I coach people and work individually with people on productivity, all those things that, you know. But it's just that sort of Engage for Success have benefited from the fact that although I'm paid to do one bit of it, if there's other things that come up, I volunteer and do those things as well. And I just think that, you know, there's organisations with purpose out there, charities, not-for-profits, who have got stuff they need doing, but it's not always consistent, and something might crop up and they need somebody to do it, but they don't know who that person might be. And actually, you know, I'm that person probably in lots of cases just because I can sort of turn my hand to a few other things, and I'd like to do that. So it's for me, it's either a mates rate scenario or it's a pay me to do this and I'll volunteer and do some other bits for you as well as they crop up. You know?
Absolutely. And those kind of smaller charities, community interest companies, are the very kind of companies that need this jack of all trades approach, because they can't afford to hire a whole bunch of specialists to do this, that, and the other.
No, exactly.
And someone that can help them on a number of levels is incredibly valuable at all kinds of levels. So I totally get that. And it's also interesting when you look at those kind of organisations, and I'm talking smaller organisations, you know, there are big charities, there are big, they're just big corporates with millions of pounds washing around doing nothing.
Exactly.
But smaller charities and smaller social enterprises often struggle to do basic stuff like marketing or, you know, making people aware of who they are and what they are, because they don't have the resources up front to do something about it. So you know, with a for-profit company, you can take a risk, can't you? You go, right, we're starting a for-profit company, we need to invest in marketing, so we're going to borrow some money, invest in some marketing, and hopefully make it back.
Yeah.
Whereas charities and CICs don't always think like that. They tend to work based on what their budget allows them to do.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, again, that's the whole thing for me around the whole purpose-led thing, which is that if it's something that I believe in and I want to support, you know, people who know me know that I do, you know, do stuff. I just step in and help, sort of thing. And obviously, you know, I need to make a living like everyone else. But, you know, I sort of see that flexibility of being able to give a bit as well as having that sort of consistent sort of ongoing work. And the thing for me, and the reason I wanted to come on and talk to you and I contacted you, is because this isn't something I'm going to create a website around or necessarily put on my LinkedIn profile or anything else, because I think this is very much a, you know, speak to people, find that person who knows that person and that sort of thing. So in my productivity way, I decided to contact one person every day and send them my little flyer about what I'm doing,
right,
so that my feelers are going out and everyone knows what I'm looking for, so that when that thing crops up, somebody will get in touch. So that's what I do every day now. I contact one person and send them my flyer.
So it's viral relationship marketing, is what you're doing.
And my netball opponent last night, I've known through business for about 10 years, and I hadn't seen her for all that time, and I said, maybe I could send you my...
you had gold defence in a headlock, and while you were...
actually, but yes.
Yeah, and while you were doing that, you went, oh, by the way, I've got a new little business, can I give you a flyer? Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So, yeah, my friend does laugh at me. He says, you just network everywhere you go. And, of course, as we remember, I was Network of the Year 2007.
Exactly. But you're right, you know, joking aside, you're right. I mean, it's how you put the word out there. You know, word of mouth stuff is always still the most powerful form of marketing.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time for it to float out there. But, you know, the sooner you do it, the more often that it comes along. Over the years, I've told people working in sales that, you know, sales is about developing a pipeline. You can't, you know, you have to work on it, and then at some point in the future, it will come back. You can't expect to ring dozens of organisations and get an order every time you ring.
No,
because, you know, most people don't buy instantly. They don't have a need to buy instantly. But what you need is to set up in their mind a kind of memory jog that when they do have a need, they think of you.
I have example of that, actually, not related to this, but a couple of weeks ago, somebody approached me and booked into my diary to talk about her email overwhelm, which is something that I can also help people with. And she then, I'd got this process set up where she went to, you won't be surprised, process, where she went to this form, and it didn't quite fit with what she'd booked for. So she then sent me an email and said, oh, can I cancel? Because I thought this is what I was booking for, but it appears not. And I said, oh, you know, you're right, that form's rubbish. I've just changed it. Thanks for the feedback. I'd love to still, you know, speak to you, but, you know, whatever, it's up to you. And she said, well, if you don't mind, if I'm not wasting your time. I said, no, that's fine. So I spent 40 minutes with her, gave her a whole load of tips about her email management, found out that her whole organisation has a much bigger issue, which is causing her the issue as well, sort of thing. And she's asked me this week to talk to her operations director, because she said he's interested in talking to me about me helping the organisation around their email management. And that was me just, like I said, giving her some of my time, because she'd booked in, and of course I wasn't going to say no, sort of thing. Gave as much as I could in that time, and I've got potentially a call with somebody where it might lead to business. It may not, but, you know, who knows? Sure. As you say, you've got to keep having those conversations, don't you?
And it's important, you know, building relationships with people is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're going to talk to Ellen and Cheryl in the second part of the show, and that's what they do. You know, they really, you know, they organise stuff and they talk to people, and and it's so crucially important. But it's not really strategic, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people try to measure it, and it's not really measurable. In conventional ways, you know, what's my return on investment of giving someone 20 minutes of my time for nothing? You know, exactly, who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know what will come back in the future and how things will just kind of pan out.
No, exactly.
Mm. A conversation can lead to all sorts of things.
Yeah. Mm. Talking about email overload.
Yeah.
Miss... I've got 13,000 unread emails in my...
26,000 now. Oh, God, keep up. I just tell people to WhatsApp me now.
But it's
I don't even
personal.
Look at my emails.
Yeah, it's all personal. Some people... I mean, I get down to zero every day, at least once.
Oh, I can't remember.
But you don't need to. In your head, you've worked out a process that works for you.
I just don't read them.
No, exactly.
I WhatsApp.
You don't want to know what's in her head. Trust me on that.
Or in the sound of it. I just WhatsApp, you know, now. My whole life is WhatsApp. It's so much easier.
Yeah, and that because that's what works for you, and that's the whole thing. Productivity. You've got to work on what works for you. You know, there are some productivity gurus out there who say this is how you must do it. Here's the program. Follow this. I've never said that. And I'm not even a guru, but, you know, my whole thing is you've got to meet people where they're at, what works for them, because what works for you doesn't work for me, doesn't work for you.
The thing is, I don't sit at my desk anymore.
No.
I just don't do it. It doesn't suit me. I'm Gemini. I'm a people person. I'm not
an ad. She's two-faced.
I'm Gemini too.
I know.
You're two-faced as well.
We must be different cusp, because I can't bear admin, and I'm very organised in my home life and my life. I'm very organised, but I just don't like sitting at my desk or being in an office. I've never worked in an office, so why would
at my
start
desk
now.
Either. I have a standing desk or a sit in my armchair
in
my office,
don't
or
stand.
I lay on my bed.
Standing desks are brilliant. I bought our son one when he was first working from home. They're great, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Really, really good. And my new husband, I bought him one about 14 years ago, and it adjusts and it does all
well,
sorts.
Well, they do say sitting rather, not standing. Sitting is the new smoking.
Well, there you are.
You've got to keep moving.
Yeah.
What was that? Sitting is the new smoking.
You can't sit all day.
We're all standing
trouble is
up
when you
quickly.
Stand all day, your knees
hurt. I like to comment about your new husband, Jules, and then you said 14 years ago you bought him that. I like to call my husband my current husband.
Yeah. So you're just keeping them on their toes, you two.
Current or raisin, whatever.
You will see, the thing is, Cheryl, she's lost count of how many husbands she's had.
I have one ex and one current.
Is that all?
Yeah.
No, you're way behind her.
Yeah. I like to unite the religions and the nations.
She's been working around the world with different men from different religions. She started off living in Cairo with a Muslim.
And I was 17.
Yeah, and then moved on to some Christians, and her current husband's Jewish, and she's looking for a Buddha. Sorry, Gavin.
or a Sikh.
Seeking a Sikh.
Yeah,
seeking a Sikh.
Isn't it? Yeah, of course.
Oh, no, there was a film about that, wasn't it? Desperately Seeking. Oh, no.
Yeah, Desperately Seeking.
Yeah.
But my new husband's lovely, and, you know, he's hobbling about at the moment because, you know, he had what he thought was a ganglion removed.
We're
had
not
it
getting
two
onto
years.
Medical issues here,
a
are we?
Yeah,
he's
it
gets, so clear.
But it gets worse. Is anyone eating risotto for lunch? I hope not. Because when the surgeon did this ganglion, he said, on his foot. He couldn't get his shoe on. Huge it was. I kept trying to bash it with a Bible, but it didn't work. And
maybe it doesn't work if you're Jewish. Maybe you have to do it.
Maybe.
I don't know which.
Maybe
Bible.
With a Torah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But the surgeon was very excited. He had it done at Kim's on the National Health. Kim's is amazing in Mason.
Uh-huh.
And the surgeon said it was very rare what he had. And it's like his body is making cartilage where it shouldn't. And he said it was like hoovering out risotto. This made me feel quite queasy.
See,
you see,
it doesn't matter how many times I say before a show,
no,
we're not going to talk about medical procedures, are we, Jules? No, not at all. And then we're straight back into medical procedures.
But I think Jo led me on again. I think she led. See, she sets it up. She sets it up.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We were talking about lunch or risotto or something.
I want to ignore that completely and go back to...
it's made me feel very queasy.
What we were talking about before that, which was your use of WhatsApp and Joe's use of email and so on and so forth. And one of the things that causes me no end of grief now is the sheer number of ways that people can communicate with you.
Yes. And you know you've had a message, but you can't remember where it is.
Exactly. And I get them all the time. I get people saying, can I come on the radio show? And I go, yeah, send me some details. And they send me some details. And then a couple of weeks before they're due on and I start the marketing and I try to find them and I can't find them on email.
Facebook Messenger drives me nuts. Yeah. Yes. I mean, my message is there. People send me.
WhatsApp or Telegram.
Yeah.
They're hidden, those Facebook Messenger ones.
Yeah. I never see them for about 6 months.
Yeah.
Then I go, I'm ever so sorry. And my LinkedIn, I've got loads of DMs on there. I never see them.
Unless Jo has got a way around this, and she might have, which is why I mention it, Facebook Messenger is a pain in the backside. Because once upon a time, there used to be a setting that said you didn't receive messages unless someone was a follower. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you followed each other, they couldn't message you. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, Facebook took that away. And now every day I get at least 20 porn, spam.
And those are just the ones he is following.
and that's from the people that follow me. And then I get other things, yeah.
I often get emails about Viagra as well.
Well, I've won them.
Do you need it?
Sherry, you're going to be impressed with this. Just this week, I've won the Nigerian lottery 3 times.
Oh, I've won it. I've won it.
Which is brilliant, considering I've never bought a ticket. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's annoying because you get things that you can't control like that. So, you know.
But they do still filter. So you only should get the ones in your normal inbox from the people you are connected with, and the others are in another inbox that's very easy to find nowadays, but didn't used to be.
There's another inbox?
Well, yeah. So when you go to your messenger, you go to your messenger and, I can't remember how you do it now. Let me think. And then you click on your face and then you will have another thing there. I haven't got any at the moment because I cleared them all.
What it does is it says you've got
message requests. That's what it is.
Yeah,
message
requests. You've got all of the people that you follow listed there.
Mm.
But when somebody that you don't follow, it comes up at the top and says, do you want to accept this message?
So you click on your face and then it says message requests and you get all the things in there of people that you don't know, but you may know, and they've sent you messages and you can accept them, but you can read them and not do anything with them and then they won't know you've read them.
Yeah.
So it won't accept them as a connection.
You can look at the pictures, basically.
Exactly. That's what you need to do in most cases, isn't it, to be fair?
That's mostly what they're about, yeah. I have to say, I don't bother. I just delete them all straight away.
What is it about all these men that contact you that are widowed? They're in the army in America and they're widowed. Am I the only one who gets
an awful lot of those?
They're always really good looking. But
I had a ghastly one, which was on WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mum. My phone broke. This is my new one. Delete the old one.
Yes, that's a spam.
And I actually fell for it because it sounded just like my daughter. Yeah. And I said, I've got 3 kids, all grown up. I said, which child is this? Is it Sydney saying her name?
Yes.
So then that person had my daughter's name.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I put on our group family chat, did you all know that Sid's changed her number?
Yeah.
And I actually said to this person, in Nigeria or wherever they were, I said, you don't have to change your number, you know, you will be sent a new SIM. Yeah, so I was having this whole conversation.
Yeah.
And then Sid said, I haven't changed my number. Yeah. And I told my mum and everybody.
So then what would happen is they would say, I'm lost, I'm on holiday, I've lost my card. That's what they do, that's why they're doing it. So the person changes their number and then they send a request because they're in trouble and need some money, and some people then will fall for it and send money.
Yeah, I think I would have noted that. But the hi, mum, you know, this is my new number. Delete the others. Well, just you know, when you're busy and that, I reported it to WhatsApp, but you don't get anything back when you report, which is annoying. It would be nice to have a confirmation that they're actually looking into it. A bit like AstraZeneca, actually, when I reported my vaccine damage. My GP actually filled in a form which took me 5 months to get from AstraZeneca about my adverse reactions, life-changing.
Anyway.
And she sent it into AstraZeneca on the 6th.
Anyway.
I've switched her off. 6th of September, Joe, and she still hasn't had a response from them.
He switched you off again.
Just coming back to technology and its propensity for scams. The scams are really quite sophisticated these days, and it really is. It does make me laugh. I've been having loads of trouble with my bank just in the last year or so, and of course your banks send you things and they go, "We will never contact you by text or ring you and ask you for this." And then you get a phone call one day and they go, "Oh, it's HSBC," and you go, "Right." And they go, "Right, can we just verify who you are?" And you go, "Hold on a minute, you called me. I don't know who you are."
No, exactly.
We're the bank. Yeah, but they all say that.
Well, I was worried the other day, and I'm going to mention this word, but it's not to get Jules off again. From the track and trace, because Ellie had COVID.
Because apparently they're taking our data from the PCR test now. Did you know that?
Yeah, so they phoned.
And they've sold our data.
So they phoned to ask where she'd been. And I was like, "You don't want it." She's like, "It'll only take 20 minutes. So it's probably going to be less than that." And I was like, "It's half term and she's 15. Do you think this is going to take 20 minutes? It took us about 40 minutes because it was like she'd been to all the Primarks and all the like, she'd been to Canterbury, she'd been in restaurants, she'd done, you know, this, that and the other. And we went on for hours.
What
we ought to do, is give them all Jules's phone number.
Yeah.
And then they'd leave us alone for days and days and days while they just had to listen to Jules.
But the thing was, it's when they said, "Oh, you know, we're phoning from track and trace," then I sort of wanted to go, "Well, can I have your details?"
That could have been anyone.
I thought that, but then, you know, who'd want to listen to me for 40 minutes talking about all the shops?
It's serious, though. Amanda, my partner, she got a text, and it was just from a number. It was just a text number, and it said, "Please click this link for your NHS appointment." And she's going, "Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that." Anyway, she phoned her GP to say, "I haven't heard anything." And they went, "Well, we texted you." And she
said, "Don't know what you can trust anymore."
I know. I had an email and then went right the way through, and it looked like the NHS page, and it wasn't.
Well, it's, you know.
But then I had
tax man.
I had a phone call once actually that was said something like, "We're phoning about your appointment," and it was for Simon, my husband. It said, "If you're Simon Dodds, press this button. If you're not, press this button." And I was like, "Oh, that's really secure, isn't it? Because if I'm going to like want to know what it is, I'm just going to press the button, pretending I'm Simon Dodds, aren't I?" But how does that work? And seriously, it was. Just don't do it unless it's you. And it's like, that is not really very secure, is it?
Without being funny, this is really what bothers me about what governments are doing at the moment. Governments are trying to coordinate everything through a digital platform so that they can monitor all the things that you do. And the problem with that is it doesn't work. Yeah, there are so many things that go wrong with that. And you get into this. I've just been through 6 months of hell with HSBC. Not that I like to mention HSBC, where I just got into a deadly embrace with a computer say no thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. The fact is, they wouldn't talk to me because I didn't know my date of birth.
Which must be because they made a mistake. Presumably, you do know your date of birth.
It's too far back for the records, anyway.
I'm going
1066, isn't it?
I assure you, I do. I was there at the time.
Yes,
and they go, "Well, I'm sorry, you've just given us the wrong date of birth." And I'm one of us is wrong.
Yes.
Who do you think is the most likely to have got it wrong? And they sorry, can't talk to you. You know, so you get these daft things that happen with technology, which is where we need a Joe Dodds.
Yeah, because when it does work, it works really well.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like, I don't know, well, did I have to renew my driving license a few years ago? And they took the photo that was on my passport through the system automatically. I didn't have to faff. I just pressed a button and it was lovely. You know,
yeah, well,
it's
like that the world. Hold on. 15 years ago on my passport.
Well, I was just going to say.
And your LinkedIn profile.
And my LinkedIn profile, my school picture.
I was just going to say, my youngest son, Stuart, they did exactly that to him. And he ended up with a picture of himself as an 8-year-old on his driving license.
Wow.
Which is just stupid.
So, as I say, when it works, it's good. When it doesn't, not so.
Yeah, I've had a letter actually to renew my driving license. I'm going to be doing that with my 15-year-old photo.
Yeah. We've got to keep that going, definitely.
So we need, you know, all kinds of organisations need a Joe Dodds to kind of sort us out, and that's what we need. But if you're running a charity, a community interest company, a not-for-profit, and you want some help, and you want some help from someone that's pretty experienced in a whole range of things, Joe's the lady for you.
Thank you very much, Paul.
So how can people get hold of you, Joe, if they want to talk to you more about the
company? By the hand.
Yeah. Oh.
Easiest thing is probably just to email joe@joedodds.com.
Fantastic. There's a link to Joe's website. Lovely. And everything on the Business Bunker Radio site. For the moment, Joe, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to see you again. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We've got a few minutes until we join the newsroom, so we can talk to Jules about anything other than her medical.
Well, history. Okay. Sorry, I was busy tweeting somebody, as you do. NBC is going to give you a little business boost.
Oh, that's Maitland Borough Council.
It is. Mm. Well done, Paul Andrews. It's the Maitland Borough Council. They call themselves the NBC, and they're asking businesses affected by COVID-19 to come forward to check what help, advice and potential financial support is available for them as part of its new scheme. And the website I'm going to read out, actually there is no website, it is an email. It's M for Marjorie, B for Bertie at maidstone.gov.uk. Any businesses that would like to receive information on the support available should email that. So it's MBB at maidstone.gov.uk. Details are on Kent Business Radio as usual, and they're saying that in addition to the support for businesses that are significantly impacted by COVID, there are grants of up to 10 grand they're available. If you're taking on a lease for a ground floor premises, for example. Why ground floor, I wonder? What about your first floor? Funny, isn't it?
Carry on reading and we'll find out.
What ground floor premises in a commercial centre due to diversification or growth. Via the scheme, we currently particularly want to help any businesses who may have fallen through the cracks.
That's probably the more cracks on the ground floor.
The first floor must be the cracks.
They've landed on the ground floor.
I like that.
Yeah.
In previous grant rounds, we're also looking forward to supporting plans for growth, innovation and diversification via the grants available, especially for those taking on retail space in commercial centres. Paul Andrews.
Do you know what I loved particularly about that is that when you read out the email, MBB, you gave your own version of what that stood for, and actually it stands for Maidstone Business Boost.
Oh, yeah. I said Marjorie, Bertie and Bertie.
Exactly.
I thought you were going to do the whole Maidstone with Marjorie.
You do know that Marjorie is the, you know, she's the MD.
Jules has her own phonetic alphabet.
Yes.
One of which is P for pterodactyl.
Very good. It's funny, actually, the phonetic alphabet thing. We did it for something. I can't remember what it was. Only a couple of years ago, and Simon and I were both saying things, and then Ellie said, "Why do you keep using the same words for everything?" Because she didn't know that it existed.
Yeah. Right. Well, one of our listeners sent me the proper one once, many moons ago, but I actually prefer mine. Marjorie, Bertie, Bertie.
I can never remember all of them. I can remember some of them and not all of
them. Oh, Echo, Bravo.
Yeah, I can remember my postcode.
I think people are just Charlie Tangified.
Yeah. But yeah, she was like, why do you two keep using the same words to describe the letters?
And you told her.
Yes.
I do my postcode with the normal phonetic for TN.
Yeah, I do.
And then the end of my postcode is to JD, but I always say Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels, of course, yeah. That's my initial. Juliet. Joe Dodds.
Do you know what, though? Even when I speak clearly and pronounce and I say C Charlie Tango 5, CT 5, they still go, what?
B,
and I have to say it again.
B, P.
Especially the 119 that I rang for my exemption form, Paul Andrew. Do you know how long it took me on the government? Do you know how long it took me to get one exemption form? All I had to give was my name, my date of birth, and my address.
But did you know your date of birth?
23 minutes. because her line was so bad.
I tell you what, she's so good though. Any angle, and she's in there. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
It made me very uppity though.
She doesn't need an angle.
In the end, trust me. In the end, I said, "Where are you based?" And she said, "We're not allowed to say." Yeah. She wouldn't say, but right. Her line was terrible.
I've got a tweet here from the lovely folks, Christina at Bowden PR.
Oh, we love.
And she said, "Enjoying the show with Jill Serkin." Really? And could I have a shout out for local businessman Hugh O'Neill from Recognition Express, who has just completed a 1,000-mile virtual walk for Diagrama UK, Cabrini House, a home for adults with learning disabilities. Well, you certainly can have a shout out for that. So thank you for that, Christina, and massive well done to Hugh O'Neill of Recognition Express, and good luck to Diagrama Cabrini House.
I was going to read something else. How long have I got?
About 30 seconds.
Okay, so book now to ensure your place on Thursday. It's the Marsh Networking, the famous Marsh Networking, www.marshnetwork.co.uk. The speaker will be Paula Doyle, and it's Thursday the 18th of November, so this week at Pet Village Hall near Rye and Hastings, PETT. And you can go to TDBotty on the Twitter, at TDBotty, BOTTY, and, you know, book on there.
Do your thing.
Yeah, do your thing.
We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got two more fantastic guests to talk to and some more rubbish to hear from Jules.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Mr. Andrews.
That's all right.
Yeah, let's so nice. I love newsroom. You too.
This is Channel 2.